ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter 14, Text Number 34. Bhagavan Api Govindo Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsala Katschit Pure Sudharmayam Sukam Aste Surid Vrita Bhagavanapi Govindo Bhagavanapi Govindo Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsala Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsala Katschit Pure Sudharmayam Katschit Pure Sudharmayam Sukam Maste Surit Brataha Sukam Maste Surit Brataha Bhagavan Api Govindo Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsalaha Katschit Pure Sudharmayam Sukam Aste Surit Prataha Bhagavan Api Govindo Brahmanyo Bhaktavatsalaha Sukam Aste Surit Prataha Bhagavan Api Govindo Personality of Godhead Krishna. Api, also. Govinda, one who enlivens the cows and the senses. Brahmanya, devoted to the devotees or the brahmanas. Bhaktavatsala, affectionate by the devotees. Affectionate to the devotees, sorry. Katschit, weather. Pure, in Dwarkapuri. Sudharmayam, pious assembly. Sukam, happiness. Aste does enjoy. Suridbritaha, surrounded by friends. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards His devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends? Please repeat. Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate towards His devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends? Purport. Here in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Brahmanya, and Bhaktavatsala. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal to or greater than Him. He is Govinda because He is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by the devotional service of the Lord can render unto Him real service, and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from these senses. But being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. Therefore, we need his protection for our own interest. The Lord is the protector of cows and the Brahminical culture. A society devoid of cow protection and Brahminical culture is not under the direct protection of the Lord, just as the prisoners in the jails are not under the protection of the king, but under the protection of a severe agent of the king. Without cow protection and cultivation of the Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. By Brahminical culture, the development of the dormant qualities of goodness, namely truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and firm faith in the Vedic wisdom, one can become a Brahmana and thus see the Lord as He is. After surpassing the Brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord, so that His loving affection in the form of proprietor, master, friend, son, and lover can be transcendentally achieved. The stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a Brahmana as above mentioned. The Lord is inclined to a Brahmana of quality and not of false prestige. Those who are less than a Brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood, although there is a relation between wood and the earth. Since the Lord is all perfect in Himself, there could not be any question of His welfare, and Maharaj Yudhisthira refrained from asking this question. He simply inquired about his transcendental place, Dwarka Puri, where pious men assemble. The Lord stays only where pious men assemble and takes pleasure in their glorifying the Supreme Truth. Maharaj Yudhisthira was anxious to know about the pious men and their pious acts in the city of Dwarka. Om Gyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Munitam Jaina Tasmai Sigurave Namah Ukam Guru Divachalam Pangam Mangayate Griyam Nirkibatam Hamvande Sigurum Dhinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishvaram Paramananda Maharavam. translation again. Is Lord Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmanas, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarka Puri, surrounded by friends. Is it another tremendous purport by Srila Prabhupada, in which Srila Prabhupada is so nicely establishing the position of the Lord. It's interesting here, Srila Prabhupada points out that Krishna is only inclined to go to those places where pious men assemble and take pleasure in glorifying the Supreme Truth. Krishna is not interested in going to places where that conversation is there, obviously, because he's the Supreme Lord. Just like, even in the mundane sense, we don't like to go to places where people may not be speaking very favorably, or speaking about us very favorably, for that matter. No one goes to such places where you're insulted, where you're, where the conversation is just off the cuff. Gramya Katha, small talk, village conversation. And there's so much of it in the world these days. People are engaged in so much small talk. So the Lord is not interested in going to such places, but instead he goes where pious men, or those who are in the mode of goodness, as Prabhupada points out in this purport, those who have accepted the Lord as their worshipable deity. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha. Prabhupada points out here that the Lord is described as Bhagawan, or that person by Parasara Muni. Also, he describes how the Lord is full of the six main opulences. And the devotees are interested in that kind of conversation, and they go to, they assemble in such places. Just as when Sudha Goswami or Shukadeva Goswami were speaking, the sages from all over the universe would come and assemble. Not just to pay respects to a king, but to hear about the glorification of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And excuse me. And the Lord appears, or he makes his presence known in such places. Just like in Chaitanya Lila, there's such a very nice description how when Narottam would perform his kirtan, even Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and all his associates appeared. They appeared in that assembly. Because of the devotion which was being exhibited. Just as here also is described how the Lord, he goes where his devotees are engaged in devotional activities, devotional glorification. Srila Prabhupada describes again here that the Lord is Bhaktavatsala. So not only is he full of the six opulences, meaning that he's full in renunciation, it's not that he needs to go someplace or he's dependent on a particular circumstance or gratification, I know he's already complete in himself, but he's attracted to those places where his devotees are engaged in his devotional service. So he's Bhakta Vatsala. He's inclined to, as Prabhupada describes here, affectionate to the devotees. So the Lord was affectionate to the devotees of Dwarka Puri, and Maharaj Yudhisthira is inquiring here very nicely how are the residents of Dwarka Puri doing. Not that he has to ask about the welfare of the Lord. The Lord is complete in himself. It's not that, again, he was dependent on some circumstances and he needed a particular condition. No. But the devotees do, as Prabhupada points out here in this purport very nicely, that the devotees, where does he mention that? Therefore, we need his protection for our own interest. Why? Because manakshastani indriyani prakritishtani karshati. Because the conditioned souls, everyone else, is struggling with the six senses, which include the mind. We have a very difficult time with that. These senses are always dragging us here and there. Especially the mind is full of all sorts of unwanted, unsavory thoughts. And it's so hard to concentrate. It's so hard to focus. And what to speak of remembering the personality of Godhead. Of course, that happens in due course. But in the general sense, the living entities are struggling with their senses. They're trying to some or other find some sort of happiness in this world. But here, Srila Prabhupada points out that this is only possible for those who have purified their senses by the devotional service of the Lord. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Karmendriya Karmana, what is that? Karmendriyanam Karma Jogam? That in the third chapter, Krishna explains that it's by regulated activity, by regulated meaning devotional service, not regulated mundane activity, but regulated devotional service, that regulated Krishna conscious activities, that the senses become purified. And purified senses are necessary, as we heard so nicely yesterday, that it's by purified senses that we're able to perceive the presence of the Lord, Atakshi Krishna Namadi. It's only by purified senses that we can experience Krishna consciousness. Just like an ordinary person may become attracted to certain activities in Krishna consciousness. They may become attracted for some time to the prasadam, or they may be attracted even to the music, or may be attracted to the friendship. They may be attracted to even the material opulence at some point. But unless one purifies the senses, all of those things, they're not enough. They're not enough. Because at some point, the living entity thinks, I'm already sufficiently peaceful. I've been able to avoid some misery out there in the material world. I'm ready to go back out. Unfortunately, that's the case. Sometimes that happens. but only because these senses have not become purified and sufficiently engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So, Prabhupada points out here that those who have purified their senses by the devotional service of the Lord can render unto Him real service and derive, and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from these senses, but being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. So, one may think that, oh, I'm sufficiently advanced now in some kind of mode of goodness. I can practice a little bit of yoga. You know, I clean my diet up a little bit. Or, you know, my mind is not so agitated. Now I can take up my old practices, which eventually happens. Because the senses have not been sufficiently purified. Therefore, Prabhupada points out, we need the protection of the Lord for our own self-interest. The Lord is the protector of the cows and the brahmanas. Krishna is very inclined to his devotees, certainly, but also to the cows and a Brahminical culture, because it's that Brahminical culture which provides that insulation so that the effects of material society are not so disturbing, are not so agitating. We all have experience that even in the practice of devotional life, Krishna consciousness, the external maya, she's very expert. Srila Prabhupada describes how she's a pure devotee. She has a thankless task, but she's very expert in creating allurements and some or other confusing or trying to attract us in so many different ways. So without Krishna's protection, which is there for one who engages in the regulated activities of devotional service, without that protection and cultivation of Brahminical qualities in human society, at least for a section of the members of society, no human civilization can prosper at any length. It's inevitable that those who are taking up spiritual practices, if they're not carefully engaged, Krishna Arjuna was even explaining or remarking how the mind and the senses are—they're so wild, chanchalam himana Krishna. They're so strong that even a person of discrimination or a person of great determination can be bewildered. So the practice has to be very careful, and that protection of the Lord has to be there. But that protection is only afforded to one who sincerely practices the regulative principles of devotional service. Lord Brahma describes that Shreya Shitim Bhakti Mutasya Devi Bho. He explains that that devotional service is the best path for developing this or coming to the point of self-realization. It's the best path. And other processes are, they may, again, afford one certain benefits and certain relief from certain things, but unless one comes to the process or to the point of bhakti yoga, devotional service, there's every chance, again, of falling down into this material world and engaging in some kind of mundane activity. Therefore, one has to practice devotional service properly and cultivate that, as Prabhupada points out here, brahminical culture, which is development of the dormant qualities which are there. Samodamastapaksaucham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Prabhupada points out here that one has to develop that those different qualities, namely truthfulness, equanimity, sense control, forbearance, simplicity, general knowledge, jnanam vijnanam, transcendental knowledge, and firm faith, astikyam. One has to develop all of these qualities, otherwise that the finer aspects of devotional service, they don't develop. Again, it's just like a diamond in the rough, isn't it? The diamond is there, it's very valuable, but when it's in the rough condition, you don't see its full value. It's not exhibited. But when that diamond is treated properly, it's cleaned up nicely by the certain processes, it becomes so attractive and it becomes powerful. It actually emanates a certain valuable qualities. So the devotee also has to develop these qualities which are essential. And as Prabhupada points out here, those qualities are they're natural. And after surpassing the brahminical perfection, one has to become a devotee of the Lord so that his loving service or loving affection in the form of the different rasas can be transcendentally achieved. It's not artificial. In other words, it has to be developed according to the process, and then those qualities, they manifest gradually. A stage of a devotee which attracts the transcendental affection of the Lord does not develop unless one has developed the qualities of a brahmana as above mentioned. And of course the Lord is inclined to his devotees and with those who are genuine in their devotion, not out of a false prestige. Indriyatam Imuratma, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. Not those who are foolish and pretenders. They may put on a very good show. We have experience of so many persons who have come or traveled throughout the world who profess certain levels of devotion, pure devotion, etc. But we can see in the case of Srila Prabhupada that this is not a pretender. This is not someone who's making some show for profit, adoration, or distinction, making some speaking or acting in some sort of a charismatic way, but genuine. The Lord explains that. Srila Prabhupada points that out. Not of false prestige. Those who are less than a brahmana by qualification cannot establish any relation with the Lord, just as fire cannot be kindled from the raw earth unless there is wood, although there is a relation between the wood and earth. The Lord is all perfect in himself. Om Purnam Adak Purnam Idam. The Lord is perfect and complete. He doesn't need anything. But He especially becomes inclined and attracted to those who are engaged in His glorification, who are engaged in devotional service, who are engaged in Brahminical culture, who are pious by their activities, and whose mind and senses are controlled and engaged sincerely. And therefore the Lord was attracted to Dwarka Puri. And Maharaj Yudhisthira is asking here, what is the condition, what is the status of these persons? They're so fortunate to be in that wonderful place. Just as we're very fortunate also to be in this wonderful place where the glorification of Krishna is happening, where we have a great opportunity to hear about the pastimes of Krishna, and we have a great opportunity to make use of this very challenging material body and mind. We have a chance to do something very, very wonderful. Not only perform some service to please the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, but to also make the best use of this very miserable condition. This material world is, no one can argue, it's a very miserable place. But we have a great opportunity, so one should take this process very seriously. We'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Rigupati Prabhu.
Those who are less than a Brahmin, those who are less than a Brahmin by qualification, cannot establish any relation with the Lord. So my question is in relation to that phrase or that part of the sentence. Yesterday I was having a conversation with Ananda Kirtan, and he said, you know, we were talking about the different stages of devotional service, and so then he mentioned in the course of the conversation that he had read something by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that, you know, before you actually finish anartha nivritti, you can be experiencing you can be also in these, some of these other stages like nishta, ruchi, like that, you know, simultaneously, even before you finish with the anartha nivritti. And that I never heard that before, and that I didn't have that understanding. And this for instance, this sentence that I just read doesn't seem to support that. You know, kind of what he was suggesting is something like for instance, when I was a kid, I took accordion lessons. So the teacher, even before I finished with a piece he gave me last week, he'd give me a new piece to work on, and then sometimes I was working on three or four different songs at the same time. You know what I mean? So is it like that when you're going through the different stages, you know, from like anartha nivritti to nishta to ruchi to ashakti? Can you be in more than one, or do you have to completely finish one before you're moving on to the next? This seems to, at least to me, the way I understand this phrase I just read, is that you got to be completely, you know, finished with anartha nivritti before you're going on to nishta. But as I said, that's yesterday, according to what he said, what he read by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that's not the case. So is the question understandable?
Yeah, I guess my answer would be, just as you become perfect in any kind of work, before you become a master carpenter, for instance, there's certain things that you have to develop along the way. And you're developing all those things simultaneously. You're learning how to work a saw. You're learning how to pound nails. You're learning how to frame. You're learning how to make measurements. And then finally, As a perfect carpenter, you have all of those, that knowledge of all those areas in full. So my guess would be that, I mean, it's just my speculation, my opinion, that you're developing all of these different aspects of carpentry simultaneously. One is perfecting more, perfecting you more and more in the process until finally you're a master carpenter.
So it's possible that somebody could be in bhava in one sense, but still have some anartas. Because he's still, you know, hasn't completely... Like in the case of Maharaj Bharat. Okay, so Prabhupada stated he was in bhava. But yet he, you know, slipped up and he had that thing with the deer. So is that, and then, you know, does that support what Nanda Kirtan was saying yesterday, that you can, you know, you're in more than one stage simultaneously? Because, I mean, Prabhupada said he was in bhava, but yet, I mean, he obviously had some anartha there, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have become attached to the baby deer.
Archita Prabhu, you have a comment on that?
You answered your own question in that last statement. You're always free. You can go forward and backward. So it's not that it's not like when you're in the animal kingdom where there's a definite progression, and finally you come to cow, monkey, or lion, and then from there humans. You know, that it's just a fixed progression. But once you get to the human platform, your free will becomes more manifest, and you can always fall down or go forward faster or slower. But specifically with the Adau Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, there are many people who have faith. They get a book, and Prabhupada himself mentioned that when he was here. Somebody got a book, and without meeting any devotees anywhere, they started practicing and made rapid. So it's not always like bum, 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 bum like that. You can have faith and not even meet devotees, but your faith is so strong. You read the book, it says chant, you chant, it says offer your food, you offer your food. So you're making progress. You've completely jumped over the Sadhu Sangha stage. You never met any devotees. So it's like that. Even though you may not have all your anarthas gone, you can have nishtha. You can have firm faith. Firm faith. And Prabhupada defines that firm faith, that you may not be able to defeat others in argument from the scriptures, but your faith is so strong that they can't get you to give it up. So there, you may still have some anarthas, but your faith has become so strong. It's not just initial faith anymore. It's practically, it's nishtha. So there's a mixture. Nothing is just cut and dried. It's just like going from a kanishtha to a madhyam to a uttama. It's not one day a line appears and you just step over it. It's not like that. It's a sandhya. It's a continuum. Gradually you go from a kanishtha to a madhyam, and then gradually from a madhyam to a uttama. That means you have some of the qualities mixed in there. Because ultimately the living entity is by nature pure. All those qualities are there. It's just a matter of uncovering. So Krishna can do that uncovering at any point. And you can have any mixture at any point.
It's interesting to note that Bharat Maharaj, although he was so, he was on that level of prem, or bhava, I'm sorry, he made the mistake of bad association. So if even on that level, if you're not keeping the Adau Shraddha Tatha Sadhu Sangha, that Sadhu Sangha, instead you're doing something else, or you're not attentive to the other practices or the other principles that are there in devotional life. There's every chance, as Archana Prabhu was pointing out here, Srila Prabhupada points out, that you can fall down. All those different aspects of devotional service, developing the toe nishtha, ruchishtha, developing the taste and the proper association, it's very, very dangerous. Sivasprabhu?
Yeah. Thanks for a nice class. I recently read where Srila Prabhupada, he talked about that a little bit, but he gave it in different stages, like the kanishtha, majjhima, and then a paramahamsa. And Prabhupada said in the kanishtha stage, you can develop love for Krishna. You can actually love Krishna, but you're not firmly convinced, so you can fall down. Then he said that a majjhima adhikari is a devotee who has love for Krishna and they have they're knowledgeable, but their asset is that they have firm faith in the Shastra. The Majjhima Adhikari, he may not know everything, but he has firm faith that, that whatever the Shastra says is actually truth. And then the Paramahamsa stage is that individual who develops full knowledge. So in each particular stage, you can have love of Krishna, you can have faith of Krishna, you're getting rid of anarthas, but in each stage, development of knowledge, of understanding of Krishna consciousness is a big factor. So just like you can have a Kanishtha, a person who loves Krishna, loves to do service, and likes to, you know, associate with devotees. They stop smoking or they stop eating meat, but they can still fall down due to material desires, lack of knowledge. Yeah, like the very perfect example. Is, but only until you reach the Paramahamsa stage, you don't fall down. You actually are firmly convinced, you have full knowledge of Krishna and his activities.
Yes, Guru. Last question.
Thank you very much for the wonderful class. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he was saying that only a qualified brahmanas can attract the attention of Lord Krishna. Whereas in Krishna book, Kupcha, who is the servant of King Kansa, she's also a society girl. How could she attract the attention of Lord Krishna? Obviously, she's not a qualified brahmana, right? But can you explain a little bit about on this point?
I think one of the qualities of a brahmin is simplicity. So, in her simplicity, she offered Krishna these flowers, and Krishna became satisfied by that. That would be my comment, that there's different qualities which are there in brahminical qualities which have to be there for developing or for attracting the mercy of the Lord. So she was developing a certain quality that and she was attracted to Krishna, isn't it? She had a sincere loving attraction to the Lord. She wasn't inimical, or she had some other motive. And because of her affection and because of her simplicity, she's offering to Krishna, and Krishna becomes satisfied by that. That would be my answer. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.